Yes, hallelujah! He reigns forever. He remains king. No turn up. Hallelujah. Our scripture today is John chapter 1. We are reading the first 14 verses. Let us rise as we read the word of God. Let us rise. Let us rise. Okay, let it be spring, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him, might have, might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may sit in his presence. Protocols. I'm here now so I can remove my mask. We are going to meditate on this scripture today. It's a familiar one. But today I'm directed by our under shepherd to look at the truth you cannot live without. The truth you cannot live without. I will say, Lord, feed us specially with this truth, from your truth, because you are truth, the Word made flesh. Open our hearts, open our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The truth you cannot live without. What we want to do today is to discover this truth. That's the first thing we should do very briefly. And then to examine the truth in the fourth gospel, as presented in the fourth gospel, and in context. And then we examine this claim of Jesus as the truth. And thirdly, we ask the question, what are these facts? Living in this age, what are these facts of this truth that make us believe it, hold to it, live with it, run with it? What are these truths? So what is truth? That which is factual is true. That which is seen, as the apostle will say in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that which you can see with our eyes, which you have looked upon, and our hands have touched. We've seen, we heard, and John said that is what he is writing down. He's not writing down something that his five senses have not proven to him that it is true. And this agrees with science anyway. Your touch, your taste, your feeling, your smell, you get established. And nowadays we talk about the sixth sense, which is common sense. And we may need to emphasize this from time to time. Because common sense will tell you that when all your senses have worked together to prove that something is true, and common sense tells you that God cannot lie, then it is in our own interest to believe this truth and to walk in this truth. Hallelujah. How the Bible says much about the truth, about this truth. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 116. 119, verse 116. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. So the entirety of the word of God, no iota of it will drop, is true. If you have taken the word of God lightly, today is another day to re-examine and look at it. This word is truth. And as Proverbs 12:22, flying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who deal truthfully are his delight. Are you his delight? Dealing truthfully. Or you are an abomination by lying. Those are the things that we can look at scripture even before this one. About the truth. Because in trying to discover the truth, we also have to know the opposite of the truth, which is lie. In the synoptic gospel, the three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, quite a lot is also said about the truth. Jesus being the truth. So many testimony testify that he is the truth. Let's just look at Mark 12:14. The others have Matthew 22:16 and Luke 20:21. The three of them agree. But let's look at Mark 12:14. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" That was what he brought. It said Jesus teaches. These were not his friends particularly. A number of them were his detractors. But they have this testimony of Jesus that he teaches the word of God in truth. He does not regard persons. And that means that if you are partial, you are not living the truth. To be partial is not to live the truth. We are still looking at it. These testimonies are very genuine testimonies that Jesus taught without fear or favor. His teaching was pure and simple. When you live a lifestyle that is without fear or favor, we also have to know the opposite of the truth. You are abiding in the truth. It is not essential when you do so in the Lord. Now,
Let's think deeply about this thing. Do we bend the rules because our brother is concerned? Even if the brother is our Christian brother, do you bend the rules? Your blood brothers, we call, do you bend the rules? When we talk about truth, what are the antonyms or the opposite words that you use for truth? Lie, falsehood, untruth. And I'd like us to look at John chapter 8, verse 44. Very well put there, so that we can understand. You are of your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. So, this is the devil himself, Satan. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Is there no truth in you? There are people that you say the only truth in, even their good morning is not true. Any story they can fabricate anytime, and you say it's a small lie, whether it is black or white, a lie is a lie. Go back to the scripture. I'm here to be done with it. The scripture is John 8:44. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it, a father of all lies. The Passion Translation says, if he speaks a lie, he's speaking his own language. Is your language lies? We are presenting the truth this morning so that we can live in the truth and with the truth. Hallelujah. Do you know that the answer to many problems is truth? If we can just get one truth straightened out and everybody abiding by it, then Nigeria will not be what it is today. Government by lies will end. Running of families by lies will end. Your spouse doesn't know what you earn. And if you dare to open up, you will tell a lie about what you are earning. Can't you live a transparent life? You can, in the truth of the word. Jesus is the answer of all the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer of all the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Gospel tells us about this truth in depth. We cannot live well, we cannot die well if we do not embrace this truth. It's a truth we cannot live or even die without. This truth is that Jesus is revealed. It's revealed in Jesus. And the truth is that Jesus came from heaven. John did not write a new gospel different from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. He simply wrote a complement. The other gospels focus on the life of Jesus, what he taught, and what he did. They were emphasizing his ministry. His humanity also came to play very well. The man from Nazareth, from Galilee, says Mark. Matthew says from Abraham through David, the promised Messiah. And Luke emphasized that he's from Adam, a perfect man, the new Adam. John says he originated from heaven. Hallelujah! There is a song I hate. Jesus not being a man, we not no go call him small boy. What do you think? How will you call him a small boy? Say now, he's only a big man. And these are the truths we want to be instilled that Jesus came from where? From heaven. Yes, they called him, is he not the son of Joseph? Don't you know his brother? Don't you know his sisters? Yeah, that is true. You did know that. But he came for a purpose. He emptied himself. He came from heaven. So, when you look at this gospel, the details of his birth, his baptism, his temptation, teaching in parables, confrontation with demons, the experience at Gethsemane, the Lord's Supper, ascension, excluded. Because it was a compliment to focus on this truth that Jesus is God and he came from heaven, that he is the truth. There is no dispute about it. This gospel is very simple, yet so philosophical and profound. Those who have studied it, we know that that verse 1, which is usually referred to as the prologue, talks about the word, the Logos. And when we get to verse 14, you find that the first verse and the 14th verse, they are linked. Every other thing that is said between 2 to 13 are like a phrase expanding on what the first verse has said up to and concluding in what the 14th verse is saying. So the background information to verse 1 is that there were all sorts of speculations, all sorts of theories about how the world began. Maybe the science of that time couldn't have captured it, but today we know all those things. The beginning of life, the Darwinian theory, who doesn't know about evolution? And the question that most wise people will ask, and we do ask, is if man evolved from monkeys and apes, for example, why have monkeys stopped evolving? Why is man still reproducing itself? All those are there. Unanswered questions that are not true. These are falsehoods of one form or the other. As man tries to probe into the origin of life and the creation of the universe. Then you have those of astrologers. You have those there of the Big Bang Theory. How do you just say this energy just bottled up into one tiny speck, and all of a sudden there was an explosion, a big bang, releasing into so many galaxies, and that was how it came to be that we have this universe. Or you talk about the biochemical protoplasm roots. Now, even if you say they did exist, how did they come about? The answer and truth of it is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There are facts about this Jesus. Jesus is a man and God of history. It's not a story that is told by the fireside. It's not a moonlit night story told to children. Jesus is fact, and that is why we like calling that name. I love calling your name. Why are you close to that? Don't breathe. Jesus,
how I love
calling your name.
Calling your name.
Every day,
your name is the same. I love calling your name.
this name. This name Jesus has been. It's true. Many have tried to make their God and to get their explanation from people who were created by Jesus. And they just knew the forces of nature. Deified heroes like Songo. And they believe so much in it. And what the enemy does is climb into them and show some magical powers. And then people begin to feel that that is God. Can never be God. It is this same Jesus who is God that created the universe was there. Now who created God? He has always been there. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, the Word. That is the truth. It is the beginning. That is the truth. The only true and living eternal God, creator of all things, that is the truth. Created the forces of nature, recognize them, recognize and obey him. That is the truth. When you put it together, that while on earth, he only needed to tell the storm, be still. And it was still. The storm will not listen to any of except the one that created him. Created it to be still. He still the storm. He just went to that tree and when he didn't find fruits in it, he cut the tree and he withered. So many. And in fact, in this fourth gospel, there are so many signs that are done, at least six of them, that are not recorded in the others. They are called miracles. And these miracles are supposed to be signs of the fact that the Messiah has come. Miracles such as healing of the man born blind. Miracle, the first one being turning of water into wine. We didn't read it in the other gospel. He also recorded the healing of the nobleman's son. And we have walking on the sea, walking on water by the Sea of Galilee. And one or two others, which the other Gospels did not record. And the emphasis by recording this is to show that these miracles are signs of the promised Messiah. These particular ones are the ones that testify that indeed Jesus is the truth. The true God, the true Christ, and he is truth himself. He is light himself. Now, the declaration of Jesus about himself are declarations, not just in word, but you will see it in his life and in all that he did. His commands both announced by angels. Of course, we knew that. All these are things that are history, not stories. Yet, his people did not know him. Those he came did not know him. Do you know him? At the end of his exposition about Jesus being the truth, he cannot do without. Do you know him? You know him in church, thank God. You know him when we gather, thank God. You know him singing in the choir, thank God. You know him as a minister of the gospel, thank God. People know you are a pastor, thank God. But do you know this truth? Do you? That answer is between you and him. Because no matter how you try to force it, it's either you know him or you don't know him. A long time of working in the church and working in the church, doing many things that your pastor may have praised you for, it's not an indication that you know this truth. Do you know this truth? And that is where we will always emphasize verse 12.
Of the scripture we read. Verse 12.
but as many. No one is excluded. Lest you say that we have enough born again Christians in this, so their grace will come out. No. As many as received him, to them he gave the right. Some translation says he gave the power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. You can't know him and do his bidding and live in this truth if God does not give you grace. Well, before I met him, before I encountered him, it was so easy to lie. So easy to lie. And the minute I said, okay, I won't lie again. That very day I said, I won't lie again. I can tell up to 4 lies. Yet I said, I won't lie again. So you need power. And that power only comes through the Holy Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit comes to convict you of sin, of judgment, the need for righteousness, because there is a judgment to come, that you will realize that the one who created you also died for you and is also asking you to live this life of truth in him so that you can live with him. Jesus is God revealed. He is God revealed, and in him there are facts about God that he revealed. His love. No one could have loved like him. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. No one would have loved like him. Who would love to the point of, you can die for your friends, but love to the point of dying for your enemies? No. No one would have loved so much. You would have made yourself loose on the cross. Call 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But no. He decided that he will die for his enemies, who were all his enemies. And the shout of crucify him, he stood, was ready to be crucified. No one will have the compassion he had for the needy. Saw that woman, husband gone, only son now dead, being carried to go and bury, and was so full of compassion. That is God. And he said, no, this one will live. So Lazarus, his friend, with his sisters, a family that he befriended so much, saw them in pain. They had waited for him for so long. And now he's coming apparently very late. And he said, no, even if by tradition and by popular belief, he would have rotted by now. But this one must live. It's the life. The way, the truth, the life, all those that, when he pronounces, I am the good shepherd, the same, doing it, be so. No one like Christ. He is the light. He is the light that is supposed to shine on our darkness and our confusion. Some of us are so confused. We run from one pastor to the other. We leave our Savior's chapel. You run to one particular pastor because there are signs there. Why are you so confused? Why can't you? Once you know this Christ and you desire to know him more, in the quiet of your home, you receive from him. Yes, you fellowship with other people. You go to your spiritual father, yes. But by the time you have so many spiritual father, you are bringing a lot of confusion into your head. Why are you so confused? No matter how intense the trial, no matter how intense the temptation, stick unto Jesus. He is the truth. He is the truth. We can't fault that. He is the light. We can't fault that. He will shine in our darkness. Those darkest moments of your life, when you wonder whether you can continue again. So many terrible things around you. And you are just wondering, why me? Many ask, why me? Don't worry. He's there for you. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him because he's near and he will answer.
you saw this opportunity that in your lost state, Jesus is there and he has found you. He has found you. Have you found him? He's looking at you. Have you found him? Have you found this truth? Have you related to this truth? Have you related to this truth the way you should relate to this truth? Are you deciding today to live in the truth? Do you know that all liars will go to hell? It doesn't even matter the kind of lie you told. You will go to hell. It's only living in the truth that makes you appreciate and speak the truth. This gospel, this complement to the other gospel, makes us to know that the Word made flesh, dwelt among us for about 33 years, we can compute.
Not very sure about how many years after 30.
But we fix it tentatively at 33 years, Jesus lived with men. Men he created. So that we make us spiritual.
We are concluding.
Now, chapter 4, verse 24. Let me read that. Please, media, let me have the same gospel. Chapter 4, verse 24. The way Jesus has come to save with us to make us spiritual, body, spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's look at 3:18. Chapter 3, verse 18.
Chapter 3, verse 18 of the St. John's Gospel. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
And part of his name is truth. Now let's look at the same chapter 1, verse 17.
Chapter 1, verse 17. The same John. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Are you still obeying the Ten Commandments?
You can't. You can't. Stop wasting your time. You can't. You can never. In fact, they are not just there. There are so many.
You can't. That was the Old Testament law. Jesus fulfilled it. And in fulfilling it, he planted love in our hearts that will make us go beyond the law. You will fulfill it and do it when you know this truth. And this truth sets you free. In our worship of him, having been with us for this short period of time, he wants us to live and dwell with him forever. That is the truth. That in knowing the truth, we then live with him and dwell with him forever. 1 John 5:20, as I close with that scripture. 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20.
Media, say that before now. 1 John 5:20.
I want everybody to see. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son Jesus Christ. Let's read the last phrase together. This is the true God and this is eternal life. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for coming to dwell with us for a short while and to make us live with you eternally. Establish this truth in our heart, O Lord, and let us live the overcomer's life, overcoming over sin, over lies, over all that is evil. Make us true children of yours to inherit with you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Within the week, I got a message